Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 136 of the Panelcast. This is AJ, and I'm your host. I'm here with Richard.
Greetings.
Anthony wasn't feeling too good, so I had to con Richard into joining us this week.
Con,
yes. Very punny. Anyway, so this isn't going to be like our normal podcast. What this is going to be like is us talking about what has to be one of the biggest comic book conventions of the year, and that's San Diego Comic-Con. So this entire episode will be Richard and I going over all the wonderful things that we did and all the stuff that we saw and all the movie trailers and news that had come out from that. So just sit back and relax. We're going to take a quick first break, and when we come back, we'll get to San Diego Comic-Con. Be right back.
Hey guys, this is Dan.
And this is Jen.
We're your hosts on The Road Ahead.
Add us on Facebook and find out about some of the interesting, odd, and amazing places you can visit on your next road trip.
Just go to www.facebook.com/The Road Ahead Series. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Road Ahead Series, or simply follow us at Road Ahead Series.
Thanks, and we'll see you on The Road Ahead. Now back to the Panelcast.
And welcome back, everybody. All right, so let's start off with our experiences. Richard, you spent a lot more time at Comic-Con than I did. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what your highlights were and your down lows were?
Actually, overall, I was quite impressed this year. It seemed to me, I don't know if you got the same feeling, but even James and Anthony and I talked about it. It seemed like they kind of spread it out, like the aisles were wider, and it wasn't quite. Like, everybody didn't seem so stacked on top of each other. So that's probably one of the biggest highlights, is I didn't feel like a sardine.
I was only there for the 2 days. And so the 2 days I was there, I mean, the crowds were pretty hefty. But, yeah, I mean, it could be the lack of Marvel presence. It could be the way that they had sold the tickets coming into it. You know, how they tried to spread it out. And
well, it was still pretty packed, even, like, especially, you know, Friday and Saturday, of course. But, like, you didn't feel, I mean, certain areas, obviously, like, where the big autograph signings and stuff were going on. But, like, overall, it seemed, like, much easier to get around. Now, maybe the streets were a lot more crowded. But, I mean, I wasn't dying. You know, I didn't feel so claustrophobic. And, you know, we're all very antisocial. But it wasn't horrible. So that was probably one of the biggest highlights. Especially since for the first few days I was broke until I got paid on Friday. So, but there was some like the biggest highlight for me personally was I believe I told you about this huge geek moment where I spent about 15 minutes talking to Art Adams,
nice.
Which, you know, one of my all time favorite artists. And it was just, you know, just sitting there talking about art and just very personable and cool. Like, kind of like, you know, the way cons were when we were kids, you know, when they were just held in the banquet halls of hotels.
Right.
You know, and maybe a lot of the younger generation doesn't really know who Art Adams is, because Neil Adams was the same way. You know, there's a couple of my favorite artists right there. But, like, just the general feel, it just didn't, like, it wasn't so, I mean, you had your movie trailers and stuff. But it's very, this year seemed very much more comic book or comic book related, and not so much of the TV shows and the other kind of trendy pop culture stuff that has been around the last few years. I mean, there was still a presence of that, but not as strong of a presence. And maybe it's because I don't do panels. So
probably. I mean, however, you weren't the only one to be able to geek out with Art Adams. Our friend Joey Labardnick was also there, and he had come up to me saying that, you know, he finally had the balls to have a conversation with him, as opposed to, you know, hi, I like your book, your art is pretty, buy me, here's my money.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah. You know,
he was able to actually sit there and have a conversation with him. So apparently Art Adams was the guy to see this year at Comic-Con.
Well, you know, maybe it's because Joy and I are old, as are you, so that might have something to do with it, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think maybe it's the old school mentality of, you know, appreciating your fans. So, like, very, very cool. Like, Art Adams is amazing. And I think we actually talked about him on the way to Comic-Con about how big of a fan I was of his, and just getting, I didn't even know he was going to be there. So that was just super cool to me in general.
Well, then it worked out.
Yes. And then there was all the awesomeness that is the Sideshow collectibles area for me. These people that keep taking all of my money.
I was going to say, it's not really so much awesome as you pre-shopping.
Yes. Well, you know, I get to see what I'm purchasing before I get to, you know, come home and have it.
Right. Any other highlights on the floor? I mean, I heard you got to meet up with September Morning finally.
I did finally get to meet Emily Lazar, who I've been trying to see for the last 3 years, I believe it is, since the first year I went to WonderCon. And it's always just been because she's, when I first started drawing portraits, she was one of my favorite muses. I love her character. I love her style. And finally, we actually just so happened as a fluke. Well, I knew she was going to be there, but as a fluke, we just went over to the Top Cow booth to introduce Anthony to Wanted. And she just so happened to be standing there, and she goes to hand me the flyer for their Kickstarter. And I'm like, yeah, I already know, I've donated. And she looked at me kind of like, you know, with that look of when you recognize somebody. And I'm like, yeah, I draw you all the time. And I showed her on my phone portrait that I did her. She's like, oh my God, it is you. She gave me a huge hug, just like really cool. Like I said, I love their music. I listen to it all the time when I draw. And like, yeah, just a very personable, very cool, you know, artist. And she was telling me all about the book that that is based, their band is based on. That's they're working on a Kickstarter for a graphic novel that's coming out. So yeah, that was definitely a personal highlight just because I love drawing her. I'm actually working on another portrait of her, and I love their music. So, you know, that was also a big highlight. Seeing, even though I didn't stand in the huge line for it, Kiss is one of my all-time favorite bands. Seeing them there was just really cool, you know.
So, yeah, it is. I mean, I didn't know who was older, Gene Simmons or his hair.
I think it's his hair. I'm pretty sure it's a triple.
I think so. At this, I think him and Shatner just trade off.
You know what I think it is? If you remember the, oh God, this is going to make us look old. If you remember the old, well, it wasn't Creepshow. It was it may have been, what was it? The Nightmare on Elm Street TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Where they did the hair plugs that were actually just little aliens that take over the body.
Right. That's probably what it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think it is.
Which came out, that movie came out last year that we're talking about, not 20 or 30 years ago. Denying our age.
Right.
One of the highlights for me had to have been, and this is so superficial, had to have been the weather.
Right,
it was, didn't it was go pleasant. Over 80 out there. Nice, cool ocean breeze, and it just made it, you know, tolerable.
Yes, and you didn't get the normal presence of unbathed geek that you normally do. Then again, you were only there for the first 2 days.
So. Well, I mean, the only unbathed geek I got was, you know, James, but I'm used to him.
That's just giant.
Right. That's just a hot dog. But no, the weather was great, and it made it a lot more tolerable and bearable. The floor was nice and easy to maneuver around. I was only there, unfortunately, on Wednesday and Thursday, so I didn't get to, you know, see any of my favorites myself or talk to anybody. But what I did get to experience, I enjoyed it. I didn't feel overwhelmed with crowd.
Right.
I did at times feel like I was on a mission and had to be somewhere. But what was nice was that it didn't take me a while to get there.
Yeah. It was great. Like the maneuverability, like I said, I believe they widened the aisles a little bit, which is amazing. The one thing I definitely did have one low spot. One thing I was a little bit disappointed in, and maybe it's just because the experience, not for me personally, but for everybody else that, you know, people that there's a lot of people that go there for the outside stuff and they don't get to get in. Mm-hmm. And it was really limited this year.
Yeah. Like, I didn't see a lot. I saw the Assassin's Creed maze.
Right.
But a lot of stuff they had going on were in bars. And
right.
And unfortunately, if you're under 21, you know, you don't get to experience any of that stuff. And that's kind of a bummer. But at the same time, if you don't know what bar to go to,
you right. know, and all the information for where it is, everything is inside of the convention, which, I mean, we ran into a guy at lunch who was like, hey, I brought my kids, you know, I couldn't get tickets, but I'm trying to find some cool stuff for them to see. And like, they didn't know where the Xbox Lounge or stuff like that was,
right?
Because it was posted inside.
And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know about you, but me personally, I've become so numb and resistant to people handing me flyers at Comic-Con that maybe some of that information was on the flyers that were given out while we're walking. But, you know, I just don't grab that stuff anymore because it ends up in my bag taking up space, and then, you know, a year later, before I go to the next con, I end up just tossing it out.
Or you put it in your back pocket and end up washing it.
Right, and you just forget about it. So maybe that was the case, but either way, like, I'm a huge fan of How It Should Have Ended. And
yes.
I did not know that they had the Villains Pub down there.
I had no idea.
I known, I would have made an effort to go down there, because they were showing the new episode. They were giving out free t-shirts and toys. They had contests at Sideshow Collectibles had sponsored their contest, so they had a bunch of statues they were giving away. All the stuff which I didn't realize until I got home Thursday night. You know, and I was like, crap, I'm not going tomorrow. I should tell Richard and them, but they should suffer too.
Yeah, well, thanks for that.
Well, honestly, I didn't realize that anybody else was into it, you know, because it's not something we ever discuss.
Yeah, so. Other than there's a really awesome, have you seen this one?
Right.
You know? But yeah, not pretty much on a regular basis. But like, there's a lot of stuff, I think, that they just kind of, and it's on whoever's putting it out. It's not really on the con to advertise its stuff outside. But I think that they kind of dropped their ball on that. Or like, maybe we're just numb to it. Maybe it's that old Vegas experience where you just don't want people to hand you stuff. So it's entirely possible.
It's not like you can do collector stripper cards like you can in Vegas. So you just kind of, you know.
You can. They're just going to be really weird.
Right. Be really awkward conversation. The low point for me, and this is going to sound wishy-washy, but honestly, like, come Saturday, it's not that I missed being at con. I just missed being at con with you guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when you go to con, I mean, we have this game that we play where, you know, we pick, like, a certain costume or a certain look or a certain item that we keep an eye out for on the floor, and if we see that item, then we play, it's like slug bug.
Yeah.
You know, so we played Star Wars shirts or Doctor Who or what have you. By the way, Anthony has a huge bruise on his arm.
From you and James.
From me and James. And Joey. Joey got in there too.
Joey got him a couple times. Joey got me once, and I'm like, dude, I'm not even playing. I'm the judge. That's abusive and official.
But, you know, it's stuff like that that we do just to have fun while we're on the con floor and not let the crowd get to us, or not let, you know, the anger or anxiety of being surrounded by all these people get to us. So it's just a fun little game we play. And like I said, come Saturday, I was like, man, I wonder if they're still playing. I wonder how this is going. So it made me realize that it's not just what's happening inside the convention that people go to. It's also a chance for them to hang out with their friends and do other stuff that they're not normally able to do to. I mean, we go to movies, we hang out and stuff like that, but we don't go to this type of an environment where we're just all geeking out one after another, you know? James can point out something to us, and we're like, yay, and I can point out something, and we're like, yay, you know, it's...
Yeah.
We all like our own individual stuff, and at con, we get to see that individual stuff and geek out as a group. And that's kind of something really cool, and that's what I missed come, like, Saturday and Sunday, so...
One of the favorite things that I had is because though James has been into it for a few years, he's been into comic books again, and like, there's a lot of stuff he hasn't been introduced to, and Anthony's there's a lot of stuff he hasn't been introduced. I mean, they both know anime, which I don't know,
right.
So they point some stuff out to me, but pointing out, like, introducing them to like books and stuff like that, and hey, you got to check this out, like, both James and I pushing for Anthony, no, you really want to read Wanted, like, that's something you have to get, like,
right.
You know, I like introducing people to new things, so.
Yeah, I'm the same way. When I ran into Anthony yesterday, he showed me his Rising Stars compendium that he had bought.
Oh, yeah, I pushed that on everybody, too, like, we all three of us bought it.
Yeah, he was like, oh my god, I love this book, you know, when you introduced me to it at the comic book club that we do.
Right.
You know, I wanted to get it, and I was like, yeah, that's awesome, I bought mine 4 years ago.
But well, the salesman that they had at Top Cow was amazing. too, because he was just like, he was pushing it. And I'm like, I have the original books. I'm like, but it's not something you want to read, you know? Right. He's like, well, you know, the compendium, it's half off. I'm like, oh, you got me.
Right. Now, I got to warn you guys, all of you guys, the binding inside is not all that well. So I would not open that book.
You know what? To me, I just got it for reading, because, like I said, I own the original comics, so it's not a problem to me.
Right.
Like, I bought it just, it could fall apart and I don't care.
I lent it to my son, and I watched him as he literally opened it and all the pages fell out.
Ooh, that's horrible.
And he looked at me and I was like, what did you do? I'm not going to tell you about the beating I put on them that night, but let's put it this way. He now respects comic books.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that, oh man, this is a little funny story that you haven't heard, obviously, because you weren't there, but we were getting the compendiums, and I was telling the guy, the salesman, I'm like, yeah, I have the original books, but, you know, it's not something you want to read. And he's like, well, yeah, you could only have so many latex gloves laying around. And he's like, unless you're this guy. And points it half, and he's like, I'm sure you have a lot laying around. And I'm like, this guy's a genius. I love this guy.
Poor Anthony. At Phoenix, right. Max Brooks said, I loved you in Predator.
Correct. Yeah, it's so amazing.
Now he's the latex glove guy. The bruising on his arm wasn't just from us. It was also his psyche and ego taking a beating.
His psyche was a little hurt, yes.
A little hurt. So with that, let's go ahead and wrap up this segment. When we come back, we will be discussing some of the movie trailers that have come out of Comic-Con. So be right back, guys.
Hello, everyone. This is Anthony White of the Panelcast, asking you to check out my bi-monthly column, Messages from the Ether, on the Forbidden Panel website. It's a column about my adventures at conventions, as well as my experiences playing new and old video games and experiencing new anime. That's Messages from the Ether, only on ForbiddenPanel.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Panelcast. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess. Since Comic-Con, a lot of movie trailers have come out for blockbusters, supposed blockbusters that's going to be coming out soon. So let's go over them. Did you have a chance to check out the Star Wars trailer?
Indeed.
And what were your thoughts?
I would rather not say over the panel cast of my thoughts. I was excited. We'll just leave it at that. But I had to take a shower afterwards. So. It's Star Wars. I mean, the excitement, you couldn't make me any more excited. So, but they managed to. Amazingly enough.
Yeah, every time I see footage from the movie coming out, I just get really, really excited. And even after being bombarded with Star Wars images while we're at Celebration, I'm still like anxious for it to come out. It could be, you know, Return of the Jedi bad, and I'll still be happy.
I liked Return of the Jedi.
It could be okay. It could have Jar Jar all over the place with lightsabers.
Right. Okay.
And I'd still like it.
Right. Because it is what it is. It's a piece of our childhood, and no matter what, you're going to enjoy it. Like, Phantom Menace wasn't the greatest movie in the world. It's a Star Wars movie, and it scratched an itch that was there forever.
I love Darth Maul, so I don't care about
Darth Maul.
Anything else in that movie.
That was just the Darth Maul movie.
It was the Darth Maul movie. But yeah, so any image, anything that comes out via Star Wars has got me excited. I even went and watched the interview that was done with Kevin Smith, where he talked about how he actually got to see the Millennium Falcon and walk onto it,
I didn't see that interview.
Yeah, he sat there and he's like, "Look, you know, I got invited on set by J.J. Abrams, and at first I was expecting all this green screen and was surprised that it was actually all props. It was all built, and then he had his assistant take him over to, you know, Stage M, and they opened the doors and there's the Millennium Falcon." Like the real Millennium Falcon.
See, I would have made a mess all over.
Yeah, and Kevin Smith was like, you know, he's like, I started crying, and then the assistant took me onto the Millennium Falcon, and I just kept crying, and you know, he's like, it was a dream come true. It was my childhood in reality, and I was touching everything.
Yeah. Well, you know what? To know that it's actually built and not completely green screen, I kind of want to cry a little right now.
So. Right? Like, I'm like, you fat bastard, I want to go.
Right?
So, yeah, that I was excited by that. Now, let's talk about the one controversial trailer that came out that everybody's, you know, up in arms about, and that is the Suicide Squad trailer.
I don't see why anybody's up in arms. I kind of like it.
I'm digging it. I mean, granted, give me a hot, crazy-ass bitch, and I'm all over that.
Right. Oh, you're talking about the trailer.
I'm sorry. Right, right. Well, I mean, just true to form in any of my ex-girlfriends. Go on. Look at my track record. So.
Right, and look at all of our track records. Yeah, you know what? What everybody's up in arms about is it's not the Suicide Squad of comics, and it's not what they're used to. And the point is, like, the point that you always so eloquently make is it's a movie. It's a different universe, and you have to expect changes.
Right.
Because they're much like, and oddly enough, I use this analogy with everything because it's who I am. Much like professional wrestling, you don't have to pander to your everyday audience. You want the casual audience because your true fans are always going to be there no matter what. You want the casual fans, the people that don't really know it. So you have to make something mainstream.
Exactly. And for me, the movie universe is not the comic book universe. You know, I grew up with Wolverine as my idol. He was everything to me, you know.
It's your height.
And if I can get over the fact that he was 6'1" in the movies.
Right. Which, I mean, like in that interview when you and Justin talked about it, like, you couldn't find anybody to play the role any better than Hugh Jackman did. So, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's a different universe. That's all it is.
And so, seeing the Suicide Squad movie, is it the same universe we grew up with in comic books? Absolutely not. It's a total different thing. And I'm sorry, you're not going to get everything you ever wanted to see in the movie. It's just not going to happen. I mean, Christ, Superman snapped Zod's neck. That never happened.
Of course, you got to bring that one up, right?
I got to bring it up. I got to, you know, that's because it's that universe. They
yeah, that one, that universe. One irked me though. But yeah.
So, you know, going into this, and that's what I did. I was wide-eyed and bushy-tailed when I kicked play, and when it was done, I was like, "Damn, that was pretty awesome." I didn't mind the Joker at all.
But more than didn't mind, I like the Joker.
But I also know for a fact that he's just there in flashbacks.
Right.
You know, he's not a main character in the film, so I can get over the 5-10 minutes he's going to be in the movie. And I enjoyed everything else. And come on, it's Will Smith, for Christ's sake.
I thought he looked amazing.
You know?
And he sound.
Yeah, he's rolling through pimping in one scene, and he's rolling through killing in the next scene, and then he's, you know, rappelling down the building. I'm down.
You know, I will go on record of saying I have really big expectations for the movie. I think it's a different vision, but it's a vision I'm excited about.
Yes.
So, and I like that Joker. I'm a huge Joker fan, and I'm a traditionalist. But you know what? I also know that sometimes things need to be updated.
Right.
And you know, it's a different view of a psychopath, and it's a different type of psychopath than he's always been, but still a psychopath.
It is not going to be Heath Ledger.
No.
It, to me, was the epitome of Joker.
Yeah, Heath Ledger was the comic book Joker.
And it's not going to be that guy, but it's also not going to be Jack Nicholson, which was, you know.
But see, the thing about it, and when everybody heard Heath was playing the Joker, everybody wanted the Jack Nicholson Joker. But the Jack Nicholson Joker was no Joker out of a comic book.
Right.
It was just completely different and re-envisioned, where Heath Ledger was very comic book-esque.
And neither was Cesar Romero. Neither was any of the other people that you're going to see. And there's a lot of complaints going on about Harlequin, too. And I don't see it. I'm sorry. She's hot. She's crazy. She's awesome.
Which deal is with Harley.
Right. If you want something, if you want to see her as the Doctor, go watch Birds of Prey, the TV series, where she plays Harleen Quinzel. you know, played by the actress that was Ferris Bueller's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then you could see her be the doctor and see her going slowly crazy. This is just a psycho hot chick that likes to kill people. I'm down.
Yeah, well, she wasn't the doctor in Suicide Squad.
Right. So
the psycho.
And plus, she was a character that was created based off of a cartoon. So if you want to base her, if you want to see that cartoon style Harlequin, the one that isn't all evil, that isn't completely crazy, that isn't all that hot, and that is, you know, made for children, then you shouldn't be seeing this movie.
Right. I don't know. I'm excited about that one. Actually, both those trailers, the Star Wars one and the Suicide Squad, they got me going. Like, they got me. I'm excited.
Now, let's move on to another trailer, X-Men Apocalypse. Did you see that one?
I did. Hey, you know what? I'm open. And my expectations aren't quite as positive. But you know what? It's a different universe. Things are going to be different. So, you know, you never know. All you're seeing in trailers is tidbits, and it's going to get you excited or it's going to get you bummed, but it's not going to give you the whole experience unless it's a really bad movie and you get the whole experience in the trailer.
Yes. So I have faith in Vaughn. I've liked the two previous X-Men movies he put out. X-Men First Class was pretty awesome. This last X-Men that he put out was pretty awesome. So yeah, I'll have faith in it and I'll go see it.
I just think the trailer was just lagging a little, and maybe they're holding back because it's not the final trailer. I mean, it's
right.
The first teaser, right?
I honestly didn't like the way Apocalypse looked.
I despise the way Apocalypse looks, but
who knows what CGI may happen? What else is going on? And it's also, you know, the time period of the film is the 80s, right. So you know, who knows?
There may be an awesome backstory on why he looks like that, and it'd be perfectly relevant.
Right.
So, okay. That's why I'm keeping an open mind.
Now, for the next one, Batman versus Superman.
You know what? I had very low expectations for the movie. Trailer kind of got me. I'm a little excited.
Right?
I have always supported the choice of Affleck because, as I said, you know, given the right script, he's a good enough actor. He loves the character. I believe if his mind's right, he can do it. He may not look at the traditional Batman, but I kind of like this suit. Some of the screenshots that I'm seeing come out, I'm liking.
I loved the desert fighting suit that he had.
Right?
He's wearing a trench coat. He's got the goggles.
Oh, man, it's just amazing.
And like, these guys with Superman armrests are thrown down with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I love it.
And hello, Wonder Woman.
Right. A skinny, right? Struggling Wonder Woman. Who knew?
What do you know? Everybody complained? I heard all the complaints, and she can't pull it off. Sure as hell looked like Wonder Woman to me.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited on that one. That one, I think that one out of all the trailers that I've seen has gotten me the most excited. And maybe it's because I didn't have the highest expectations because I'm not a huge fan of that Superman. I wasn't a big, I didn't hate the movie. I didn't love it. I just, but I'm pretty excited.
I like that they took this, like, the first trailer was, what's going on here? What's happening? This trailer was all about Batman.
Yes.
I loved Jeremy Irons as Alfred. I thought he was a great conscious, you know?
Yes, perfect.
He's a great kid. Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. And I'm just amazed. And I think the reason I always supported Affleck and the one thing that he's got that strong jawline. So if you see him with the cowl on, just looking at that jawline, like, man, this guy just looks like someone you don't want him. And he is huge.
Oh, yeah. The scene where he's like pulling that thing across the floor with no shirt.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to like explode out of his skin for a second. Like, dude, Affleck, calm down. That's why Jennifer dumped you.
Yeah, right?
I'm hers now. You know,
I am extremely excited about it.
The sad thing is we have to wait till next year.
Right. Well, you know, they're just going to give us more teasers and just make us bite at our nails more and more. So.
Right. And so, yeah. As far as other trailers, like none of them come to mind. Did you see anything else that maybe caught your eye?
One thing did catch my eye, and it's not really a trailer that was released. It was just an announcement that I was unaware of, and I'm sure maybe other people did. No, I'm just really excited about the Scooby-Doo Meets Kiss DVD that comes out. Because I love Scooby-Doo, and I love Kiss. And to me, that's just awesomeness. But other than that, no, I didn't really catch anything.
Give me another Kiss at the amusement park.
You know what? I hope it's only as awesome as, you know, Kiss versus the film.
Right. The one bit of news that came out that kind of had me surprised, but I'm not really, I don't know how I feel about it, was that Ben Affleck will be starring and directing the solo Batman movie.
I did read that. I'm not sure how I feel right now.
I like Affleck as a director. I think he's done a great job. I was a little iffy with Argo, but I mean the town was awesome.
Right. I actually liked Argo. I mean Affleck can direct and he's really good with heavy drama, and I think we're going to get a very deep Batman movie. And like I said, he's a fan. Like, it's not like Affleck's not a fan of the comic book. You know what right. I'm saying? So I think we're going to get a different perspective on Batman and maybe something deeper in the psyche that nobody's quite tapped into yet, which could be really cool.
Right. And
it's be over top and cheesy, which, you know.
And he does pop up in the Suicide Squad movie, so that means he's down for the continuity and being in other titles.
Right.
So it just, I guess it just depends on the villain that we see.
Yes. I mean, there's, it's not even, it's who knows what can come of it, you know? And as often as people are in films drop in and out, who knows?
Right. So yeah, there you have it. That's our Comic-Con wrap-up. Overall, probably one of the better Comic-Cons that we've been to. The 2 days I was there, I enjoyed myself seeing all the news and everything come out of it. I thought it was pretty awesome. Richard and the rest of our company seemed to enjoy themselves as well, so... good news all around. Not too many crazy. The highlight, one of the biggest news that I heard come out of there, which I was kind of envious of, was the Star Wars panel. Not only did they get to go in, did the audience get to go into the Star Wars panel, see everything that was happening on the screen and what have you, see Carrie Fisher say, "I still love you," and Harrison Ford going, "I still know," and then kissing on stage. But then J.J. Abrams was like, "Oh, by the way, come with me. We have a private party for you." Then he takes everybody, the entire audience, 6,000 people, over to Petco Park for a live concert and a Star Wars fireworks show. That's awesome.
That's beyond awesome. And that's what happens when you have a director who's also a fan.
Who gives a crap.
Yeah, who really cares about this universe, if you think about it, how much of an effect you're going to have on people's lives. Like, as much as other genres and other stories created the whole science fiction genre, for people that are director and writers, and like a lot of them, Star Wars is their biggest influence. You're talking comic books, movies, novels, video games, toys, you name it. It's an influence on so many people's lives, and that's showing some appreciation, and I'm very jealous of not being involved in that.
And there's that other little video going around that I don't know if you saw or not, Richard, but Marvel, the entire cast of the Marvel Universe was on stage. When Stan Lee was walking off stage, Channing Tatum ran up and helped the old man down the steps. While everybody else was being like, "Ooh, selfie, selfie," I'm like, "Ah, crap! Now I gotta
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he helped him down. Everybody else was so self-involved in taking photos. Channing Tatum, like, he was doing a selfie. He saw Stanley trying to get down the stairs, ran over, grabbed his hand in his back, and walked him down the steps to make sure this 97-year-old creator of the Marvel Universe didn't fall to his death, you know?
Because, man, that would oh, wow. No, I don't even, apparently I have to like him.
Right now, like, I don't even like Channing Tatum. Now he goes and does something cool, dick.
He's going to have to, well, you know what, for me to, I can tolerate him then on that note, but maybe at some point he may have to be in, oh, no, you know what? Between that and his role in, what is it called? This is the End or whatever.
Right.
Maybe I will like him. You know what? He has a sense of humor.
Appreciation.
Yeah. The guy can laugh at himself. So, right. You know what? That just made him kind of cool in my book. So.
Yeah. And then there was
deprecating. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Deprecating. There was another bit of news that had come out that, you know, fans were in line for Hall H, and I believe don't know if it was Batman or a Marvel movie, but, you know, the cast came out, they gave free t-shirts out to everybody in line, and pizza.
I think that was the Marvel movie. I remember reading blurbs about that, like, you know how every news bit comes up here.
And right. There. So just all these instances of people just being cool at Comic-Con. And it's something we saw at Celebration, you know, those people that were waiting overnight in line for day one of Celebration. You know, J.J. Abrams and crew came out and ordered pizza for everybody and made sure everybody was fed and comfortable while waiting overnight to get in for the first day. So it seems that has carried on over here, you know.
I think that's what you're starting to do now is get people involved. Not just directors or producers or whatever, but people involved in these projects that are also fans and know what it's like to be on the other side of the line.
Right. They're appreciated.
It's kind of like us being on the other side of the table.
Huh?
It's kind of like us being on the other side of the table, you know?
Right.
You take all the appreciation and you're like, you know, honestly, if it wasn't for you, there would be nothing.
Exactly. So, and they're paying respect to the people that are feeding them by literally feeding them back.
Yeah.
You know, and for that, I got to give great respect for. I think that's really awesome of them to do.
And nothing says I appreciate you like pizza.
Right? I'll take some pizza. I'm a fat guy. So, yeah, with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thank you, Richard, for filling in for Anthony, even though you are darker. I'm
probably also involved in the fact that he's broken. So.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, you should see the bruise on that man's arm.
Well, you know, sometimes you get abused.
This week we'll be watching Ant-Man down at the RPX in San Bernardino. Next week is I don't remember what movie is next week, but I'm sure we'll be there as well. For any other news and whatnot, please check out our Facebook, Instagram, our Twitter, Tumblr. We're all over the place. Richard is set up with his own account as well under Crooked Smile Art. Go find Richard.
And we have a 24-hour day coming up.
This weekend we have 24-hour Create Something Day. We will be hosting a contest. So for those of you that are interested, we are looking for, we're taking photos of ladies that come dressed as the witch, one of the main characters from our Forbidden Tales anthology. And the winner of that contest will be on the cover. So if you're interested, check out the Facebook feed. That'll tell you what you need and how you need to apply and compete. And hopefully we will see you guys down there. Otherwise,
so I can't dress James up as a witch. It has to be a girl.
I'll let him slide. He's got to wear a G-string, though. Anyway, and straddle that broom.
Poor broom.
Poor broom. It's going to have like tractor trailer wheels on it. Anyway, thank you everybody again for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode. And be sure to tune in to the website sometime next week, as we will have our next artist spotlight interview up
with my personal favorite artist.
Yep, that would be Anthony. No, just
yes, Anthony's everybody's favorite artist. Richard, I don't know what he draws, but
Richard will be the guest on our next artist spotlight. So if you want to find out more information about Richard and all the things that he does, then tune in. If you're
not all the things that I do.
If you're as repulsed by him as I am, you won't tune in. But definitely check out Justin's interview.
Justin's interview is amazing.
So, yeah, once again, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Bye.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.